I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of Football Theory. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by the coach. Everybody knows him, but let me introduce the man himself. He is a former high school football coach at Burnet, at Brownwood, Capel, also Rotan as well. He also played college football at Abilene Christian, coached there on several different occasions as well in multiple stints. Also was an analyst over at the University of Texas in multiple stints there as well. He also, right now, you can find his wonderful work working with ShipleyRanches.com. I can't forget to mention that, ShipleyRanches.com, and you can find his work there. He is a man of many talents, a renaissance man. What's going on, Coach? Coach Shipley, what's up, Coach?
Hey, doing good, Rod. Just getting everything ready for, you know, when you got 10 grandkids, actually 13 now with the blended family, we got lots of Easter eggs to hide.
That is right, Coach. You got a busy Easter weekend ahead of you, so glad you reminded us, Coach. So happy Easter to everybody out there, because Coach is gonna be busy. That's a beautiful thing, though, Coach. A beautiful thing. Oh. Y'all have everybody around there and just do one big Easter egg hunt for everybody.
Yeah. We've got a couple planned, you know, to include everybody, but you know, we got the big money egg, you know, because
around my house,
everybody's not a winner. The winner gets the golden egg. I mean, you're talking about football theory. That's my theory about life. Life is a competition. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Everybody doesn't get a trophy, you know?
No, they do not.
Maybe you can get the golden egg next year, but unfortunately, in the Shipley Easter egg hunts, as in football games and as in life, there's winners and losers. And when you lose, you gotta be able to deal with it.
I love that, Coach. I love those life lessons. The late great Arguerito had a great quote: "The world is a very different place for winners than it is for losers. The sooner they learn that, the better." Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's get to one of our sponsors really quick, because she is no doubt a winner. Football Theory is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Give her a shout today at 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. If you have any issues, concerns, or any business in the Austin area in regards to real estate, she is the person you need to talk to. Thank you to Laura Baker and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams for their continued support of Football Theory. All right, Coach, I figured today that we go through and make some predictions. Go through the team, the roster, and try to figure out who are going to be the team leaders statistically. Who are going to be – now, some of these are really easy. Who's going to be the leading passer, leading rusher, leading receiver? Who's going to end up, you know, being your leading sack artist for the Longhorns? Who's going to lead the team in tackling, interceptions? Kind of want to go through some of those stats and get your thoughts about who you think is going to be the leader for the Longhorns in those specific categories. The easiest one, I think we should start with the easiest one, because that's quarterback. We know who's going to lead the team in passing. It's going to be Quinn Ewers. So the question that I'll ask as it relates to quarterback is about Arch Manning. We know Quinn's going to lead the team in passing. I'll knock on some wood here, because I don't want anything to happen to either one of those guys. I hope he plays the entire season, every game, because NFL scouts do want to see that from Quinn, because they haven't seen him play an entire season of football without injury, without missing time since his sophomore year of high school. So the question I'll ask, Coach, is how many games does Arch Manning end up starting?
Yeah.
Does he start any games? What are your thoughts? How many, if any?
I don't know, man. I've been thinking about that question since we talked about it earlier. You know, I want to be a realist. I'm going to say one. Very, very. It's not very rare, but you know, it's not. It's unlikely that a starting quarterback is going to make it through 12 games, 13, 14, 15, you know, whatever the season's, complete season is going to look now, like now, very unlikely, you know, in my opinion, that you're going to get through unscathed. And it could be where, you know, we might have maybe a lighter opponent 1 week and, you know, Quinn may be beat up a little bit and go, you know what, we're going to send him out and just make sure he's ready for, you know, whatever game may be coming up next. So my gut tells me two, my heart tells me one, but I'm hoping for all of us it's zero.
Yeah, those are rare, right? Even at the University of Texas, I mean, you go look at it since Mac Brown took over, how often has a quarterback gone wire to wire, started every game and started and finished? The key is started and finished every game for the University of Texas. It's actually pretty rare, I believe. My man Sims did it in 2002. He did it in 02. VY did it in 05. Did he do it in 04 too, I believe? 04 and 05. Then you got Colt, who did it in 08 and 08, because 09, national title game, didn't finish it.
Right.
Then you have Garrett Gilbert actually went wire to wire for Texas in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. And then after that, we got us, I think Shane Buchel was the next to do it. Shane Buchel did it. Remember, we had the Tyrone Swoops 18-wheeler package. So you used some Tyrone Swoops there, but he wasn't the starting quarterback. Shane Buchel actually did finish every game. And then Sam Ellinger didn't do it until 2019 that Sam Ellinger started every game? It wasn't 2018 when they went to the Sugar Bowl, because Shane Buchel had to start multiple games there. You don't make it to the Big 12 title game without him. Yeah. So I believe it was 2019, Coach, because 2020, Sam's last year, remember, that's when he has the injury in the bowl game. So he doesn't start and finish every game for Texas. And since then, Texas has had to use multiple quarterbacks because Quinn Ewers has not started and finished every game, and neither did a Casey Thompson or a Hudson Card. So in Sark's tenure here, he hasn't had a quarterback start and finish every game. And since 1999 with the Longhorns, what, it's happened six times that a quarterback started and finished every game during the season? So to your point of being the coach, the wise coach that you are, it is the exception and not the rule to have that happen. But that's what I think Quinn's goal should be this year, is like, hey, man, I got to start and finish every game. Is that something that he can accomplish? I hope he can, but you're right. Odds are not on his side. So good conversation there. Let's get to running backs. This still should be relatively easy. Leading rusher. I got Cedric Baxter leading the team in rushing, but I got a but there, a big but. I do think Jaden Blue is among the running backs. He's the leading receiver among the running backs. I think he leads the running backs in receptions and he leads the running backs in receiving yards, even though Sark likes to use both of his running backs in the passing game. I think that is, you know, I think the difference. Cedric Baxter does lead the team in rushing, but I think Jaden Blue ends up being the leading receiver among the running backs among that group. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think there again, when you start looking at the history of starting running backs being able to finish the entire season, you know, without missing a game or part of a game with an injury, it's not likely, you know, because those especially, you know, we've seen so many injuries nowadays with that, you know, with the alligator roll, you know, tackle, whether, you know, that's what got us last year. You know, I mean, when Brooks, I think how Jonathan got hurt.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's unlikely, but I do think that Jaden Blue, and I think Savion Red is going to have some production. I don't know that he's a threat to have the most production, even with an injury possibly to Baxter. But I think Jaden Blue will have, and I'm like you, I'm getting more fired up about a potential two back set.
Hey, all right.
I think we got the guys that can do it. I really do. And plus, you know, like I said, we need those guys to be experienced, because chances are you're not going to ride one horse through this whole season. You know, you're going to have to split it up and give those guys some reps. But I believe CJ will be the man.
No, that's a good point, Coach, I'm excited about the two back sets. I've been talking about it for a while. If you're going to stockpile all those running backs, Hey, you got to make sure they're getting touches, they're getting reps, try to keep them all satisfied and happy. The two tailback sets will help you do it. And I like your point about Savion Red. You may look at something where Jaden Blue leads the running back room in receptions. Cedric Baxter is the top rusher. And I wonder if you'll see Savion Red situationally, goal line, short yardage, if he'll end up having more conversions and possibly even more, maybe more touchdowns if they utilize him in the goal line a lot than the other guys. So that running back room with a lot of depth, you could see a lot of contributions from a lot of different guys. Let's go to one position that has been highly debated about who's going to be the top guy, the top dog in this room, production-wise. Wide receiver. You got a lot of talent in that wide receiver room. Who do you think is going to be the leading receiver from Texas? And by the way, you can divide this up. Remember last year, A.D. Mitchell led the team in touchdowns, but Xavier Worthy led the team in receptions led the team in receiving yards. So if you want to divide it up into the someone's going to lead in receptions, someone's going to lead in receiving touchdowns, you can go that route too, Coach. I'll open it up to whatever your interpretation of it is. Well, who's going to be the leading receiver for Texas? And you know receivers.
Well, I don't know that I know these receivers that well because we've got a lot of new ones, you know. Like, who's the alpha in that room? I don't know who the alpha is. We'll see. We're going to see by the end of the spring, I think. But, you know, I've been studying these guys a little bit, and I'm going to go against some earlier thoughts I had. I'm going to say that Jonte Cook is going to be the overall – the most dependable go-to guy on the team. However, I am going to reserve Isaiah Bond as being the big play man, you know, whether it's a touchdown, you know, just big plays, most yards per completion. But I think Jonte is a guy who has earned it, but has also been in the program a little bit and just more of an every down type guy, I think, that will wind up being reception-wise our leading receiver.
I like that, Coach. I've been telling people they've been sleeping on Jonte because all the players, when they were talking at the combine, they kept saying, you know, Jonte's going to have a breakout year. Jonte, they really were complimentary of Jonte Cook. All right, so I'll go out. I like your pick, though. I like the Jonte Cook pick. I'm going to go with Isaiah Bond as the top guy. You said he's going to end up being the big play wide receiver for Texas. I'll go with Isaiah Bond as the guy that ends up not only the leading receiver with the big plays, but leading the receiving yards and receptions. But I'm not going to lie. If you would have went Isaiah Bond, Coach, I was going to go with Jonte Cook. That's how close we are on it. I'll tell you, I'll be real upfront, full disclosure. I was going to go with whoever you didn't go with, because I agree. I think Jonte Cook's a sleeper here. He knows the system better than any of the receivers coming in. Sark is big on trust. He puts a lot on the plate of the wide receivers. He wants them to know all the different positions at wide receiver. And if you don't learn them and you don't know them and you don't have the knowledge of them, Sark is not going to put you on the field. You're not going to penetrate that circle of trust. So we already know Jonte Cook knows the system. And Quinn Ewers has already said that he knows the system really well, better than the rest of the wide receivers. That could give him a huge advantage, at least early on, in having chemistry with Quinn and penetrating that circle of trust with Sark. So I'm with you there. I'll go Isaiah Bond, but I'm not sleeping on Jonte Cook, not at all. All right, I like that. Let's go. I wish that was an offensive lineman stat. How about this one? What offensive lineman is going to lead the team in pancakes? I know coaches keeps up with them. The coaches keep up with them, but it's not an official stat. You can get on like ESPN or College Football Reference. But, Coach, I know you love when you see a pancake on film and the coaches keep up with them. Who's going to lead that offensive line in pancake blocks next season?
Well, that's a good question. I am going to say interior-wise.
Yeah.
I'm going to say probably Jake. Jake.
Okay.
Now, it's harder for a center to do it. People don't realize, especially when you're snapping in the shotgun, you know, you teach those. I'm going to try to do it. Where you teach those guys to snap the ball and put one hand up at the same time.
Just I can see it. Yeah.
So it's harder for him to get on because as soon as the ball snaps, he can't engage with both hands because he's got to follow through with the snap. But I still feel like inside our guards, I'm not even exactly sure who both the starting guards are going to be at this point. So I'm going to say Jake Major, simply because it's harder for an offensive tackle to pancake, you know, because so many guys, you know, they're outside leverage on them or inside leverage cutting them off. You're not running right at them. You know, the center and the guards are more likely to have pancakes, And with Jake's experience and his, you know, he's a wily fox kind of sly guy. I mean, he knows he's had enough experience. This is his fourth year as a starter. Yep. So he understands what's going on. He understands leverage and a little help with the guards. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jake. I'm not saying Jake will, you know, will be our highly the most draftable offensive lineman. We know who that's probably going to be, but I think with pancakes, Jake.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I like that. The Pancake Factory, Jake Majors. I'm going to go. I'll stay in the interior. I think you're right about the interior O-line. I'll go with DJ Campbell. He's got a nasty streak, and I want my O-lineman to be nasty. I'll go with him. Honestly, it could be a number of guys. I can see Neto, if Neto wins that left guard spot. Neto, where Zulu plays with a little bit of an attitude, a chip on his shoulder. Right now, DJ Campbell is a road grader, and that guy loves run blocking, and he takes pride in it, and he blocks to the echo of the whistle. I'm going to go with DJ Campbell, leading the O-line in pancake blocks this upcoming season. All right, let's go to the defensive side of the ball, Coach, and talk about who we think the leaders are going to be on the defensive side of things statistically. Let's start on the D-line, where usually you get your sack leaders. Those are your sack leaders. So who's going to lead the team in sacks this season, in your opinion? Now, this one is tough, actually. This one can be – I can see five different players potentially leading this team in sacks. I really could. Depending on how much you want to use Anthony Hill off the edge, it could be him. Sark says he's one of their best pass rushers, if not the best pass rusher on the team naturally. It could be an Ethan Burke, who led the team in sacks last year. It could be a Baron Sorrell, who takes a huge leap. I think he was a sack leader for Texas 2 years ago. It could be – I could see a young Colin Simmons stepping in. Trey Moore, who's got – probably more natural pass rushing ability than anybody on that defensive line, had 14 and a half sacks his last year at UTSA. Who leads this team in sacks, in your opinion?
Not only that, but you hadn't even mentioned Sevilla. You know, he's another guy.
Yeah, you're right. That, I mentioned those guys.
You know, could potentially be a starter. Of course, you've got Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton, our old veterans up front. I'm going to say Ethan Burke. I haven't given him much love this offseason, but I think another year, he's got a great motor. I love his motor. I love his production from last year. And he just kind of figured things out. But I do think it could really be one of four to five guys. You get a situation where you've got a young player coming in that are not a lot of people – you know, are expecting much from, but I'm going to go with Ethan Burke. How about you?
That's a good one, Coach. Actually, he was one of my picks. I'll go with someone else. I'll go kind of outside the box, I guess. I mean, I'll go with Anthony Hill. I'll go with them. They're going to be moving this young man around, Anthony Hill, a lot. He's a natural pass rusher off the edge. I believe that Texas will get a chance to put a lot of teams in passing situations. Sark said last year that he was one of their top two pass rushers as a freshman. Byron Murphy was the other one. That makes him the best pass rusher right now on campus, if you kind of go back and look at what Sark said. I think, you know, maybe he has a chance. The last time Texas had a linebacker lead the team in sacks, and you got to go back to Malik Jefferson. 2017. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's been a long time. So, and by the way, they moved him around a little bit too. So, it's been a while since Texas has had a linebacker lead them in sacks. But I do believe Anthony Hill is an exception. He's an outlier. I think he's the guy that can end up doing it. And him off the edge with that BGO net first step, elite. But if I had to go someone else on the D lines and not necessarily on the defense, I probably would go with Trey Moore as the guy that's going to lead Texas in sacks, because that guy's first step is it's next level. All right, Coach, let's go with tackles for loss. Oftentimes it's the same guy that leads the team in sacks and tackles for loss. Yeah. Sometimes it can be different. Do you think somebody else is going to be a player that penetrates a lot, disrupts a lot, and doesn't get sacks necessarily, but making plays in the backfield, forcing negative plays. And this could be anybody on a defensive front. But do you think that's somebody different than Ethan Burke, who you said is going to lead the team in sacks? Those are also tackles for loss. So you got a real good chance to lead the team in both.
I got to go with Anthony Hill there because, you know, especially depending on where he's playing, you know, he can string out a play to the sideline and for a, you know, 1 yard loss, and it's tackle for a loss, you know? Yep. So, but also have a dark horse. We've got some talent, no doubt on our front, but if I had to pick one guy who could maybe lead in either one of those categories, who's a dark horse that sometimes people aren't ready for him because they don't know what he brings, is Colin Simmons.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, he is a guy that could come out of nowhere, I think, and be a very disruptive force defensively. Whether he could lead the team in a category, I don't know. It's going to be tough for him to get on the field, but if he can find his niche and he can do what we saw him do in high school, he could be a guy that can make a lot of noise in the 24 season.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I like that, though. Colin Simmons, he's a prodigy, and I can see him just going out there wreaking havoc, coming around the edge, really causing a lot of problems for different teams. That's good. I like that. I'll go with Tyler Flaws just to keep the predictions going. And I'll get bizarre here. Don't rule out somebody like Jahdae Barron. Sounds crazy. I know it does. But he did lead the team in tackles for loss 2 years ago. And in 2022, he was your leader in tackles for loss. And I went back and looked at the last time Texas had a defensive back that led the team in tackles for loss like that and had upwards of – he had 11 and a half, I believe, tackles for loss. You got to go all the way back to the 80s, right? To the 80s when you had a defensive back making plays like that in the backfield. Now, Michael Huffdad is a guy that had double-digit tackles for loss, I believe, on multiple occasions. So the Huffdad is also one of those DBs that had a lot of plays disrupting in the backfield. But don't discount a Jahdae Barron potentially. Depending on how they use him. I know they want to use him outside more, but at that nickel spot, he deciphers and diagnoses really, really quickly, and it often leads to him making plays in the backfield on those wide receiver screens, or in the run game as a force run defender as well. So I'll throw that out there.
That's pretty good. We each had an out of left field choice. Just our dark horse, who nobody would be predicting, and those are two guys that could certainly fit that.
Yeah, no doubt. Exactly. That's kind of what I wanted to get into. All right, since I just gave my man Jahdae Barron some props, how about we go to interceptions? Interceptions on the team. Who do you think is going to lead the team in interceptions? You got a lot of candidates here, too. Between, I think, Malik Muhammad's a ball hawk. Jahdae Barron, we talked about him. He could take that next leap. He's wearing Michael Huff's number now, that number 7. Makuba's coming in. He's one of those guys. Derek Williams, I love his game. As a player, here, I believe Michael Taft Daddy led the team in interceptions or tied for the lead last season. So don't be hating on Taft Daddy. He might be that guy. Who's going to lead the team in picks this year, Coach?
Well, my opinion is going to be Andrew Makuba.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I just think, you know, more of a free safety type guy. I just think he's a guy that's going to be pretty active back there. But yeah, I'm like you. I mean, people have been counting Michael Taft out his whole life, I'm sure. His whole career, and he is a guy much like we didn't really talk about tight ends, but much like Gunnar Helm, those two guys potentially are going to see a reduction in playing time as the season progresses and these younger guys really start spreading their wings and coming on. I hope not. I hope they're both wind up being All-American studs for us, because that means they have continued to increase their production from year to year, and they can certainly do that. Both of them are obviously good playmakers, but I see so much talent coming that it's going to be good either way. Either they're going to continue to improve and they're going to continue to develop, or we're going to have some young players that are going to zoom past some guys.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you're right, Taft Daddy. Listen, they can't keep him off the field. I believe right now he's in the starting rotation of safety. Absolutely. Just because
it should be.
And it should be alignment, assignment. He's always in the right place and where he's supposed to be. And that's why they, it's part of the reason he led the team in, or he's tied for the team leading interceptions last season. Jahde Barrett, I wanted to make sure I got the stat right. He's 11 and a half tackles for loss in 2022. They were the most by a Texas defensive back since 1978. It was Ricky Churchman, who actually was the last Texas DB to have that many, at least that many tackles for loss. Ricky Churchman had 11 and a half in 1978. Just going back there. Wow. I'll throw this out there for a leading interceptions. I'm going to go with, this is good. I'm going to go with Jahde Barrett only because they're going to move him around and potentially he may get a chance to make some plays when they move him around. He's going to play corner, but they've been cross-trained him he's been playing nickel, but they've been cross-trained him at corner. I believe he also can play safety. I think situationally, he may end up playing some safety. I think he's going to move around so much, it's going to be hard for offense to identify where he is. And he's a great football investigator who deciphers and really breaks down clues about the offense, whether it be the alignment of the offense, the formation, personnel package, the down and the distance. He's great at being able to decipher in the pre-snap and giving him a post-snap advantage. And I think when he plays different positions, it's going to be the same thing. So I'll go with Jahde. He's the guy that's supposed to be a Thorpe Award candidate. I'll go with him. But right behind him is Manny Muhammad, who is a true ball hawk. I mean, Manny Muhammad goes after the football. I could see him as well being one of those guys that's tied for the team lead or has the team lead in interceptions too. So there you go for interceptions. All right, last one here, Coach. The leading tackler on the team. Who do you think the leading tackler on the team is going to be? I'll make it easy for you. It's usually a linebacker. The last time Texas had a safety lead the team in tackles, you got to go back to 2012. Was the last time a safety led the team in tackles. And I believe if you want to go back to the last time a defensive lineman led the team in tackles, I think you might have to go back to Casey Hampton potentially.
Yeah.
The last time a D lineman.
Probably so. I mean, if you're giving me the first choice, you know who I'm going to take. I mean, I got to take our man Anthony Hill.
Yeah, man.
I think Kendrick Blackshire over there is, you know, if he solidifies his role over there, there could be so much attention given to Anthony Hill that it frees up other guys like maybe LaFau or whoever that's going to be. Or, as you said, a guy like Jahde Barrett who is going to be freed up maybe because they got to know where Jahde is. There's no doubt. They got to know where Anthony Hill is. And so that may open it up for some other guys to make some tackles. What's your pick?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's hard not to pick a linebacker just because of the way, like I said, just the history of it. Like I said, last time a safety, it was Kenny Vaccaro was the last safety that led Texas in tackles. And like I said, I think the last D lineman, I believe you got to go back to Casey Hampton, who did it back-to-back years, by the way, from the D tackle position, which is just absurd. I don't know if we have a Casey Hampton or a Kenny Vaccaro on the team. So I'll stick with the linebackers, but I'll go a surprise because I think they're going to move Anthony Hill around. That's why I got him as the guy that's going to lead the team in sacks. He's going to move around in formation. So how about somebody else that helps stabilize the inside? That's good. I'm going to go with David Benda. How about that? David Benda. How about that? They like the guy. I'm going to say, matter of fact, that means he's got to win that job, though, by the way, or at least be the one who's the front line starter in the rotation. He's got to be that guy. But they like him, and they like his veteran experience. They like the fact that he's a guy that continues to get better every year. They like the fact that he had decided not to transfer, that he wanted to stay here. He wanted to, you know, earn his spot on the field. We've seen these stories every now and then of that fifth-year senior having a breakout campaign, John Harris style. And I think maybe Benda could be that guy. He knows the system really well. So I don't know. I'm thinking it's kind of a wild card, but I'm thinking Benda could be the guy that leads the team in tackle. It's going to be a linebacker. And if it could be Anthony Hill, it could easily be him. But, you know, he'd be the first linebacker since Malik Jefferson lead the team in sacks and in tackles for loss pretty much because you got him in tackles for loss. But he is that kind of stud. So I could see him being that dude on defense for Texas.
The only reason that I wouldn't do that, I think he's a great think he's done a great job. He certainly filled his role, but I don't know that he has. I don't know that he has the capability of the range of going sideline to sideline.
That's true.
Yeah. So And then, of course, there's Trey Moore, you know, in there too, who could potentially be a candidate for that.
Yeah, no, I get you. I'm with you on that. All right, real quick, I think for, I guess, a bonus, I'll throw out special teams. I think your special teams kickoff returner, the leading kickoff returner, will be Matthew Golden, who actually might be an upgrade over Keelan Robinson in kickoff returns because he's fantastic. Last year averaged over 30 yards per kickoff return. He had 3 returns for touchdowns. And I'll go with the leading punt returner because it's going to be hard to replace Xavier Worthy. Silas Bolden. He is not even on campus yet, but I'll predict that he's going to end up being the leader for Texas when it comes to punt return. So there you go. Some predictions about who is going to be the statistical leaders for Texas coming up this season. I hope we're right, but if we're wrong, I'll be happy to be wrong. That'll mean some other guys stepped up big time and surprised Coach and myself. Hey, Coach, thanks for the time. Appreciate it as always, and thank you for the wisdom.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Enjoyed it. It's good talking about, you know, and like I said, we'll know a lot more here in a few weeks when we get to the heart of spring ball and start talking about spring game and stuff, which one of these guys are really. But I'm Matthew Golden, Silas Bolden, those two guys, Golden and Bolden, are probably going to be returning kicks and punts. I don't know. I'm not sure which one's going to do which, but I don't know how you keep those two guys off the field.
Agreed. I think that was a pretty easy prediction right there, no doubt about it. All right. Well, I want to thank once again, before we get out of here, let's thank our fantastic sponsor, Laura Baker. Football Theory is brought to you by the accomplished Austin realtor, Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So give her a shout today. 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505 reach out to Laura Baker and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams. We appreciate their continued support of Football Theory. We appreciate you guys listening and watching Football Theory. Thank you to my man Matthew back behind the scenes. He makes everything happen. Thank you to Coach for the time and the wisdom. And until next time, for all the folks here at OM Texas Football, hook 'em.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.